You mean I don't get the music? Come on, all those models got nice music to come up. You know, I can strut my stuff. You can tell I haven't had much experience in modeling and probably won't get that experience. But if you're curious, this coat came from Kohl's. All right. Wow, I don't know that I've worked on a lot of women, I will tell you that. I've been in an elementary school for the last 3 years and worked with about 60 women at that school. And so I learned a lot working with women. Women will teach you a lot. That's a good time for y'all to say amen. Amen. I know I'm not preaching, but that's a good time to chime in right there. But I don't know in all my experience working with women that I've ever been to a fashion show with ladies like this. And I can surely tell you I've learned a lot about fashion today. So, and I got to tell you, when I was a kid in school, I don't remember my teachers looking quite so fashionable. I can tell you, you've come a long way, baby, right? School ain't what it used to be, that's for sure. The modern teacher today has to do a lot of things that maybe they didn't used to do. Well, I've had experience as a teacher and a principal, and I can tell you a lot's changed for the principal, too. I can remember as a principal when not when I was a principal, but my principal carried a big wad of keys around and kind of looked dangerous, you know? He just kind of wanted to stay out of his way. But for teachers and for principals and anyone working in the school, you know the environment has changed a lot. A lot has stayed the same, but there's been a lot of changes as well. So I just thought for the teachers that are here today, I would do just a quick quiz with you. Y'all don't mind if I give you a quiz, do you? A little test, just to kind of see if you're a modern teacher or not. So if we could just go ahead and put up our first slide, because you'll probably relate to a lot of the things on here. We'll find out if you're a modern teacher. How many of these six are you? Go ahead and bring it up. You can see you may look like this teacher sometimes. Now, she doesn't look like any of the models that were here today. She probably could benefit from coming to your fashion show. But you'll see at the top left there, she's got disheveled hair from getting up at 5 o'clock after getting to bed at 1:16. I'm just curious, of you teachers that are here, all you educators, how many of y'all get up at least at 5 o'clock or earlier? You see what we're talking about? Okay. So you got a point right there, because you all got, now you probably got your hair fixed better than her, but how many of you, the next thing there says, money for classroom supplies out of her own pocket. How many of you have been spending some of your own money? You know, it seems like every time the state budget comes up short in my state, in Georgia, I can't talk about Texas, but when the state comes up short, they say, well, we'll make it up by maybe giving furlough days. There's all kinds of ways of making it up, but it usually means there's something coming off the teacher's back is what I found. So y'all got another point right there. Let's see, this next one says shoes for traffic duty, playground duty, cafeteria duty, and that really fast brat that you chase around. Now, kind of be honest about it. How many of you here have had to chase a kid already this school year? See there? So when you're picking out your shoes at Bell's, be sure there's something you can run fast in. All right, now this top on the right says a prank from a student. It looks like she's about to get knocked in the back of the head by a paper airplane. Anybody here ever had anything thrown in your classroom? Let's see if you get a point for that. Okay, and a bonus point if it hit you. How many have been hit by what was thrown in the classroom? Couple of you have. I can tell by you laughing. That next thing says lesson plans, papers to grade, grade books to update by tomorrow. How many of you have been under the wire because the principal's saying those grades need to be put in the grade book? Get them in there. We've got to get them. Now raise your hand. Yep. I know at my school where I am now, we've just implemented a new student information system, the computer, and everybody's been a nervous wreck about trying to get the thing up and going, and we got to get these grades in. Parents are looking online trying to see what the grades are. A lot of pressure there, I know. The last little thing there says, note from parents saying that the teachers get paid too much. Y'all ever got a message from a parent that was not flattering? How many? Come on, be honest. Maybe it didn't come to you, it came to your principal, right? Well, all this is just another day in the life of a modern teacher, and we'll see how many points you got today and find out how you scored. So if we can go to the next screen, please. Here we go. The first of all, if you got 0 to 2 points, then you're lying. Because we know if you're in the classroom, you surely could relate to more than just two. Next. If you got 3 to 4 points, then you're probably ready for therapy. So maybe next year, along with a fashion show, they'll have a therapist here as well. Finally, 5 out of 6, then you're well on your way to being institutionalized and ready to be locked up. Watch out for the white coats. The guys are coming to get you. Go on to the next slide. I think we can all kind of laugh, and it's good to laugh because laughter is good like a medicine, and it helps us, I think, sometimes when the stresses are great to be able to laugh. But the fact of the matter is, you're in what I have come to surely believe a very noble profession. And while it's noble, it's also very challenging. I know there are other professions that have a lot of stress involved with them. There are other things. They tell me that air traffic controllers have a lot of pressure with their job. But I'll just be honest with you. You know, landing airplanes, I guess, is probably pretty difficult. But have they ever tried to get kids in from recess and ready for lunch and out the door in the right time? I think the job of teaching is one of the highest challenges, stresses, pressures there probably could be. And I want to commend you for what you're doing each and every day. Because I know the reason you did it, I know you did it because they pay you a lot, right? No, that's not why you went into teaching. Well, why did you do it? You probably did it because the work days are so short, right? No, that's not it either? Huh, because you know what everybody says, that if they don't know anything about teaching, I love this when I'm out with some friends. I got a good friend who's a teacher and her husband is not. He's a hospital administrator. But when we go out to eat, he kind of rubs us the wrong way, always saying, well, y'all got such an easy job. You're done at 3 o'clock every afternoon. How many of y'all are done at 3 o'clock every afternoon? What they don't know is that 3 o'clock is when the kids are out of our way and we can then answer 1,000 emails and grade 1,000 papers and prepare the lesson plans. Nobody in teaching has a short work day. So why did you do it? Do you understand with your education, many of you have 4, 6, 8 years of college, you could just as easily have gone into practicing law. I guess they say lawyers make a lot of money. I don't know. In this economy, I hear even they are struggling. You could, though, have become a doctor. With 6 to 8 years of college, you could have become an engineer. There are a lot of things that you could have done with your talents and with the time that you have taken to prepare yourself as a professional. But for some reason, you opted to become a teacher. And you may sometimes scratch your head and wonder why you did that. But I'll remind you, I have found that teachers do it because they want to make a difference. And if we ever were in a day where we needed people to make a difference in the lives of children, we are in that day today. And I wanted today, with our theme of books, take just a few minutes to talk to you about the stories that you bring into the classroom. And I want to talk to you about the books that are in there. Now, I know your classrooms are filled with books. You've got reading books and math books and grade books and all kinds of books. But I want you to think about a different kind of books that are in your classroom. I want you to think about yourself as a book. I want you to think about your students as a book. Because every person in that classroom brings a storyline of one form or fashion. If you will, please go ahead and go to the next slide. So teachers as books, I want to challenge you to think about the storyline that you bring into your classroom every day. Every day your students look at you and they read something from your actions. They read something from your words. And those words and those actions have the power to build up or to tear down. Maybe you've had teachers who knew how to do the building up. Maybe you've had teachers who actually were not good at it and they tore down with their actions and their words. The power wielded by the teacher is so incredible. You have the power by the story that you bring into your classroom every day to encourage or to discourage. You bring into that classroom every day your own story that will either inspire a child to rise to greater heights or will perhaps add to his already strong sense of despair. And I want to tell you, it's difficult because as a professional teacher, it's true, even as a professional, you might wake up not feeling well. You may have had a difficult week with things going on in your life and your family. But somehow, as a teacher, we have to be able to bring a story to those students every day. In spite of the challenges and difficulties in our own personal life, we have to bring a story that will build them up and will prepare them to be raised to greater things. There are some stories that teachers bring into the classroom. A lot of teachers come in and their story is just like Crime and Punishment. I'll try to use some books here. You know, they're all about the rules, right? I saw you running that hallway, right? They're all about catching somebody. I caught him, and you drag him down to the principal's office, right? I caught him. Here he is. He's a culprit. He was doing it. And I don't mean to insinuate that rules and order and discipline are not important. Surely they are. Our children are better off when they learn to be disciplined. And when we as educators help provide that for them. But the bad thing is when a teacher comes to the place that that's all they bring to the classroom. It's just like another cog in the wheel. It's like the heart of education has been lost by a teacher who has done this. And I know we don't have any teachers like that here in this room, but I've had teachers like this before who seems like that the joy of teaching, the whole reason why they were inspired to go into the field, for some reason has been lost. It's been forgotten. And I want to encourage all of you, don't become one of these crime and punishment teachers that's just all about and forget to read the stories of your students. The next kind of teacher is the kind that we really should be, and it's more about the great expectations that we ought to have of our students. I will tell you, the school where you may or may not know, I have just moved to a new school this year. I moved to a small Christian school in Cartersville, Georgia. But prior to that, I was in an elementary school, a public elementary school, and we emphasized a theme for success. Everything that we did, we wrapped it around an expectation of success. Our school was Calhoun Elementary School, and we said Calhoun, C-E-S, Calhoun, expect success. Because it occurred to me that a lot of students have not necessarily been exposed to a lot of success. At home, they don't necessarily see a great example of what it is to be successful. And so when they came into our school, we realized if they don't see it here, they may not see it anywhere. You see, because the environment that child is growing up in has such a tremendous impact on who they become. And what I will tell you, for example, my own children, Sadie, I introduced to you a while ago, my son sitting in the back of the sound booth. He didn't know this was all for women today. So he found the safest place he could back there behind the sound booth wall. But my children have grown up in a home where there's music all the time. Leah and I both enjoy music. And so we are very often playing music or singing. My daughter's now beginning to write some songs. I'm so proud of her. And Ashton's playing, if he's not doing homework, he's playing the guitar at the house. And I want to go pull the plug on the thing sometimes, but then I realize, no, I'm so proud that he is inspired to practice and to get better at that. But what's occurred to me is because of the environment my children are growing up in, music has become a part of who they are. The same thing is true about success and inspiration. When a child is in an environment where there is a model of success, then it's more likely that they'll become successful. But if there's no expectation of success, if there's no expectation of greatness, then the child, it's very difficult for a child to become what he or she is not raised to be. And so we as educators have an opportunity to show that we expect greatness from our students. Oh, sure, there's some of those kids, it's easy to expect greatness from them. They come from a nice home. They come from a good background. But not every student comes in that way. But we as teachers, we as educators need to go into our building every day giving a picture, giving a storyline to our students saying, we expect you to be great. We expect you to accomplish and to do great things. Not only are our teachers bringing in a story, but our students also. Go ahead and go to the next one. We have to, as educators, read those stories that our students bring in. Every one of them brings a different and a unique background. And it would be wonderful. And I can remember when I first became a teacher, how shocked I was that kids just didn't do their homework. Really? I mean, I didn't know that they wouldn't do their homework. I always did mine. You know, and I remember as a young teacher going into the classroom, I was kind of naive, and I just thought everyone would be a student kind of like I was. I was a pleaser. I was one of those kids that wanted to do well, and I wanted to make good grades. I wanted my parents to be proud of me. And so I just thought everybody would be that way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody just came in, and they sat down, and they had their pencil ready, and they got their ears open, and they just can't wait for that teacher to write the first note on the board so they can start to take... You're laughing? That doesn't happen in your classroom, does it? It would be wonderful if that's the kinds of students, and they all were that way. But the reality is much different. The reality is that they come with many challenges. They come with many storylines that are shaded more in gray. Storylines that have hurdles and obstacles that seem to lie in their path. Some of their storylines are represented like this book, The Little Savage. Have any of y'all had The Little Savage in your class? The Little Savage, he can't keep his coloring in the lines, right? And he wants to run in the hallway. You've told him 100 times, get back here. You're going to walk this time, right? They come in with some rough edges, don't they? Go to the next one. Some of them come in, though, with a storyline that's more like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Now, when I think of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, I think of someone that was very misunderstood. I think of someone that was looking for love and acceptance. Someone that was wrapped up in insecurities and feelings of inadequacy. And many of your children come into your class each day and that's their storyline. Somebody noticed me. Someone cared for me. Someone lift me up. Someone come and connect with me. Some of your students come into your classrooms and their storyline is like the scarlet letter. They've been labeled before they ever showed up in your classroom. Maybe they're labeled because of the side of the tracks they come from. Maybe they're labeled because you had their older sibling last year and you kind of already know, oh man. Maybe they're labeled because their parents have shown up at the principal's office before pounding their fists, right? And you know, this kid, oh. There's all kinds of labels that sometimes the children come into our classrooms with in advance. Maybe they're labeled because of some horrible thing that may have happened in their family and they see themselves now somehow less than equal to the others. They see themselves as inferior and they come in and that's their storyline. How are you going to raise them above that storyline? Will you? Or will they leave your classroom with the same feelings of inadequacy as they came into it with? Some of your students come into your class and their storyline is that of hard times. And I've got to tell you, we've seen this a lot here in the last 2 or 3 years. It seems like with the economy being very difficult, people are losing their jobs, they're losing their homes. And we have, at our school, just like you do, I'm sure, we have advocates that would work on the behalf of students maybe that were homeless. Lou mentioned the fact that we had been through a challenge last year. My family actually qualified for homeless assistance because we were out of our home for over a year. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about it because I've already heard about the difficulties that many of the families in this area are having with the fires. But we can kind of relate to that. We lived in the country and in suites for 20 days before we were able to rent a two-bedroom townhouse where we stayed for 6 months. There was an explosion in my neighborhood in Calhoun, Georgia that really did damage to most of the homes in our neighborhood. And it was an unusual experience, but it did kind of open my eyes just a little bit, not a lot, because I did have insurance. I never missed a meal. I never didn't have a place to sleep. You understand? I always had what I needed. So I can't say I totally related, but for just a little bit, I could see a glimpse of what it's like to not know necessarily. What are we going to do? We've got to get this thing fixed. Somebody help me. My windows are all blown out. Can I get these things boarded up? There are children today that have hard times that maybe we never related to as children ourselves. I didn't know what it was like to not know if you would eat tonight or not. But many of the children in your classroom don't know. We started a program there, and I think I read where y'all may have something similar. We called it the Backpack Buddies, where we prepared meals that a lot of the children would take home with them on the weekends so that there would be food in their house. I saw on your website where over half of your children qualify for free and reduced lunch. So I know the storyline that they're bringing into your classrooms oftentimes are marked with hard times and difficulties that are going on in their lives. But I want to tell you that every one of those children, God has a plan for their life. And His plan is one of hope. His plan is one of a future. That's God's plan. And I believe that every teacher, whether he or she understands it or not, every teacher has the opportunity to be an instrument in the hand of God, to be able to raise students above their difficult storylines and be able to move them into the storyline that God has for them. Because His plan is to prosper. I will tell you, going from a public setting into a Christian school, one of the things I really enjoy about the setting that I'm in now, I really enjoy that when a student is in my office and has some difficulty, before I start to correct him, I can say, "Son, God has a plan for your life. God's going to make something incredible out of you. Do you understand that?" And so when your teacher corrects you, son, it's because there's something greater that God has in store for you. I love being able to tell children about the storyline that God has for their lives. And you who are in the public school may have different levels of liberty. Regardless, you need to see yourself as an instrument in the hand of God, being used to fashion and mold students to raise them above the storylines that perhaps they're struggling with. Many of them, their pages have been stained perhaps by domestic violence. Or maybe they've been through the searing fire of poverty. Divorce and abuse have taken their toll. And many of these children, their books, it seems like, are damaged. And they come into your classrooms as if they're damaged goods. But God is saying to you, will they leave your classroom lifted higher? Or will they go out of your classroom and you have never taken a chance to read them
and to pay attention to their storyline. And so your goal, our goal as public educators or private educators, is to raise the storyline of every one of our children. They come into our classroom, perhaps they're down, they're weary soul, they're troubled, heart may be burdened, waiting in silence, looking for some kind of relief, but we're there to raise them on to the next level. Go ahead and give me the next slide, if you will. The song I want to share with you just in a moment in closing, many of you have heard, talks about putting them in a position to stand on mountains, to walk on the storms that are around them in their lives today. I want to close, though, with a story of my own. Go ahead to the next slide, please. Thank you. And one more. About a teacher named Miss Thompson. Miss Thompson, you can stop right there. That's perfect. Miss Thompson was a fifth grade teacher. And she told all of her boys and girls on the first day of school, "Now, Miss Thompson loves all of you the same. Miss Thompson cares for all of you the same." But the fact is, she really wasn't being completely honest when she said that. And I think most of us who've worked with kids will understand this. There are some of them that seem like they just win a special place of favor with you, aren't there? There's some of them, I don't know what it is sometimes about them, but they just kind of get a special place of favor. So when we say that we love you all the same and we're going to treat you all the same, that's a difficult pledge to make to a class. And the fact is that really, it wasn't necessarily true, because there was one boy in Ms. Thompson's class that she certainly didn't like. Teddy Stallard. And Teddy was a boy, for good reason she didn't like him. He didn't try in school. He came often in clothes that were not clean. He would come oftentimes even with a little smell, because he hadn't necessarily bathed as regularly as he should, and his clothes maybe weren't laundered as they should have been. Just kind of quiet and to himself. So, you know, there's a good reason why he didn't win a special place of favor in Ms. Thompson's eyes. But she really should have known better. She'd read his records. She'd seen his files. She'd seen where his first grade teacher made the comment in his file, said he shows promise with his work and attitude, but poor home situation. Then the second grade teacher had commented he could do better. His mother is seriously ill and he receives little help at home. How many of y'all have students that you can kind of relate this story? Not a lot of help at home, not a lot of support. There are some challenges there. If he doesn't get it at school, he's probably not going to get it anywhere. The third grade teacher had written on there, he's a good boy, but he's just too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. And then the fourth grade teacher, before Ms. Thompson received Teddy, the fourth grade teacher had written, he's very slow, he's well behaved, but the father shows no interest. So Ms. Thompson really, if she'd read his story more carefully, maybe she wouldn't have, with such pleasure, put those big red X's down his paper as she was marking his test. Maybe it wouldn't have been so much flair that she'd have put that big red F at the top if she'd have taken time to read his story and consider her role in raising him up. Well, Christmas time came, as it does every year, and the boys and girls brought their presents in to Miss Thompson. They had them piled high on her desk, and they gathered around to see which present she would open first. Well, in that pile was a brown-wrapped gift from Teddy Stallard. She really was surprised that he had any gift to bring her at all. But she picked up the brown paper gift wrap present and she opened it up. And when she did, out of it fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with about half the stones missing, and a bottle of cheap perfume. Several of the other students in the room began to snicker just a little bit and kind of laugh at the present. But even Miss Thompson had the wherewithal to stop that by immediately spraying some of the perfume on and holding her wrist in the air and said, "Boys and girls, doesn't it smell lovely?" At that point, the children followed her cue and began to ooh and ah. Yes, that's nice, Miss Thompson. That afternoon, when the children had all left, Teddy stayed behind just a little while. And he went up to Miss Thompson and very softly speaking said, "Miss Thompson." "Yes, Teddy." "Miss Thompson, my mama's bracelet looks so pretty on you. And you smell just like her with that perfume." Teddy left and went on out the door, but Miss Thompson was changed by that experience. She went home that night and she prayed to God to forgive her for not having more of a heart for Teddy Stallard. And when she came back the next day, the children in Ms. Thompson's class had a completely different teacher. Because now Ms. Thompson came back with a new zeal and a new passion to raise up those struggling students, especially the slow students, especially Teddy Stallard. By the end of that year, Teddy had caught up with most of his classmates and had even gone ahead of some of them. But when the year was over, Ms. Thompson did not hear much from him for quite a while. And then several years later, she received a note. It said, "Dear Ms. Thompson, I graduate today, second in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know." Wow. One of the things I remember when I was a student teacher, and I worked with a seasoned supervising teacher. Her name was Ms. Bickford, Sharon Bickford. And she told me, she said, "Wesley," she said, "as a teacher, she said, you can't," I appreciate the advice that we heard earlier, and I agreed with everything, and this kind of builds on that. She said, "You cannot become discouraged if you don't see good fruit every day in your classroom from your labors. Sometimes the seeds you plant into students, you don't really see the harvest for several years down the road. But you keep planting, you keep depositing, because you're making a difference, you're having an impact." About 4 years later, Ms. Thompson received another note. It said, "Dear Ms. Thompson, the university has not been easy, but today I graduate first in my class, and I wanted you to know." He said, "I wanted you to know because you've made a difference for me." Several years later, she received another note. It said, "Dear Ms. Thompson, today I'm officially Theodore Stallard, M.D. In fact, I will be getting married this month. I would like you, Ms. Thompson, to come and to sit where my mother would sit. You see, I have no family left. My father died 2 years ago. And you're the closest thing that I have to a mother." You can imagine at that point the sense that Ms. Thompson would have had about the impact that she'd had on this young man's life. That if someone had not read his story, thank God at Christmas she stopped and was able to read his story and put the investment into him to raise him to a higher level. And that's the challenge that we have as educators. We can gripe and we can complain about the challenges in our profession, and there are many. But the bottom line is, will we raise students to a higher storyline? Will we raise them to a new level? I'd like Leah, if she would, to come and help me as we close this afternoon with a song that we'll dedicate to you teachers and ask you to help raise them up.